For Thomas Matters Radio, Mark Collier back, and we are sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions and also City Barbecue. Omega Processing Solutions has been with us as a podcast sponsor since the very beginning. We certainly thank them for bringing us together to bring the issues of Fort Thomas to your ears from our mouths. Are you an independent business looking for a better way to process credit cards? Omega Processing Solutions' straightforward application and approval process makes it really, really simple. They have a two-page application. They ask you easy things like address, your business type, checking account info, and if you currently accept credit cards. You fill out an easy sales profile. They have everybody in-house to underwrite in their boarding department. They help coordinate everything that needs to happen with a department in their own building. They never outsource anything, and they can get you from your application to up and running very, very quickly. To schedule an appointment with one of their professional account executives, call Omega Processing 866-888-9724 or send an email to info@omegap.com. Today we've got a few things on the agenda. Number one, we're going to talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Brian Sand, who is the Fort Thomas Renaissance Board Chair. Brian is taking over in his first year, so we're going to talk to him about all things Renaissance, which kind of encompasses economic development, some of the festivals that are going on, and especially we're going to talk about his sort of pet project that is he is helping the city of Fort Thomas woo I think it would be a perfect business here in town. So we will talk to him about that. We're also going to talk about the street repair program a little bit more in depth. Fort Thomas Matters has kind of been on the leading edge of that. Nobody else is really covering it. The street repair program is one that many city officials will tell you it's the most hated tax in Fort Thomas. So I'm going to give you kind of some insight as to why they do it that way, what has kind of been said behind the scenes about the tax, and if possibly it could go away. So we're going to talk about that. We've also tentatively have scheduled Matt Bevin on For Thomas Matters Radio. Matt is a Republican candidate for governor. The primary is about a month away here in May, on May 20th. And Matt, along with fellow Northern Kentuckian Chris McDaniel, who will be representing another ticket on, he's going to represent James Comer as the lieutenant governor candidate, as well as Hal Heiner and Will T. Scott, who are all running for the Republican seat on the governor's ticket. We're going to talk to Matt in the third segment, possibly. Now, we do have a interview scheduled with him, and we have fully intended to bring that on our podcast as well. Sometimes with their schedules the way that they are, it's difficult to kind of coordinate with them. So we will bring you in some capacity Matt Bevin exclusively on Fort Thomas Matters. That might be FortThomasMatters.com. Hopefully we will get him on Fort Thomas Matters Radio, again sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions and City Barbecue. So we're here with Brian Sand right now, and Brian is the Renaissance Board Chairman, and we're going to talk about a little about what he does and gain some insights as to maybe he can tell us what the next great business here in Fort Thomas. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So this is your first year, but you've been on the Renaissance Board before. Correct. Yeah, tell me a little bit about, I guess, what your job entails as the Renaissance Board chairman.
Well, some people know and some people don't, but the Renaissance Board basically is a group of individuals here in the community in Fort Thomas. They could be a business owner or they can be a resident. Most of the folks on the board are small business owners here in town. And we really kind of work together to put on kind of great events in the city and really try to make our place a great place to live. And so I got asked to be on the board a little over a year ago, and it's been fantastic. The group of people that really kind of works on these projects are great. The things that most people know us for are Merchants and Music Festival, the summer amphitheater concerts, and the holiday walk. You know, we've got a couple other events and things that we're kind of involved in that we work on, but for the most part, those are the big boys.
Those are the fun, the icing, the quality of life aspects that kind of make Fort Thomas a little bit unique, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, living in this community is one of the best things about living in Northern Kentucky, because everyone's kind of involved, and we really want to make it, you know, kind of the best place to live in the area. And so events like the events that the Renaissance Board puts on are really, you know, one of those things that sets us apart from everybody else.
So let's talk about kind of the grassroots campaign that you know, people probably have seen on Facebook. There's a Facebook page that you created, Bring Holtman's Donuts to Fort Thomas. There's been a couple of cash mobs in the last couple of weeks. I guess talk about where that started, why you're kind of helping to spearhead with, along with our economic director, Debbie Buckley. Talk about, you know, how that started and where we are now with that.
Sure. Well, a couple weeks ago, the Business Courier in Cincinnati put an article out from Holtman's Donuts basically saying that they wanted to expand to a fourth location. Me being a giant donut fan, and I typically will go with my daughters on the weekends down to Holtman's and over the Rhine. And it seemed like that would be a perfect fit, because every time I would go to the Over the Rhine location, I would run into people from Fort Thomas.
And it's always out the door.
It is. And there's always a line out the door. And it's one of those things where if I could cut my commute time down to donuts every weekend by, you know, 10, 15 minutes, that's always a good thing. And so really, it wasn't necessarily a thing that I did because of being a Renaissance Board or economic development. It was more along the lines of, I thought it was going to be a really, really good small business that our community could add to our downtown. You know, if you take a look around, really, there isn't any donut shops or any, you know, any kind of bakery really in, definitely not in Fort Thomas and really not in Northern Kentucky, especially with Remke closing. So the Buskin that was there is kind of gone as well.
And I remember there was a Wiedemann's bakery, and then another bakery that was kind of by convenient in the town center. But you're right. I mean, Holtman's is one of those kind of trendy-ish, but they've been around for a long time.
Sure. They started in 1960, and the young couple that owns the Over the Rhine location, I believe his father's or grandfather started it, and his father runs the businesses in Loveland and Williamsburg, and they really, you know, kind of put their necks on the line as young people, opening a small business in Over the Rhine, and it's kind of just took off, and it's really been gangbusters, and, you know, I think they've been featured on a bunch of different Food Network shows and different things like that. So when you get the chance to jump on a new iconic brand, iconic brand here in Cincinnati that doesn't really have a presence in Northern Kentucky, I think you've got to kind of take the bull by the horns and go after it. And so we got, you know, I got really excited about it. I love the cinnamon twist. And so what we wanted to do was, I talked to Debbie Buckley. I immediately sent her the link to the article, and she said, we've got to work on this. And so I told her I was going to start a Facebook page, because I thought that would be a good way to kind of campaign and get the word out. And immediately on the Facebook page, we started getting a lot of likes.
You're up to 500 now, right?
Yeah, I think we're at 506 or 507 when I checked this morning or this afternoon. So that's exciting. We wanted to break the 500 barrier this week. We had a great cash mob down there on Saturday. All kinds of people showed up and posted pictures to the page, which was really great. We kind of wanted everyone to show up to wear Highlands gear or Fort Thomas gear or Northern Kentucky stuff. And so that was really cool to see everyone kind of show up. And I stopped in, and the line was busy already when I was there, and took my donuts to the zoo. So,
well, I can tell. I can always kind of, you know, gauge the interest on, you know, a new business. And certainly economic development stories are always really big on FortThomasMatters.com. But the Holtman's story, when we kind of source that info from the Business Courier and WCPO and put that out to the Fort Thomas community at large, that was probably one of our top 10 most clicked sites over the last month.
Wow, that's great.
So people here are really jazzed about it. Now, they came in last week to look at some locations. I don't know if you want to talk about where they looked or not.
Yeah, we could talk a little bit about it because I think it said something when Debbie actually reached out to them. They called her back and said, you know, actually Fort Thomas was on our short list of places that we were looking at, which was exciting for us because it meant that not only was a Facebook page kind of working, but that we were already really on the list. And so that gave me more momentum to really kind of push it and try to really get the word out and spread the word on it. And so you think of ideal situations of where we would want them to be in town or where I would think that we would work. I mean, I'm not in economic development, but there's definitely some great storefronts that are open in the Central Business District that I think would fit the bill.
Yep. Because they said they want, I don't know if you've been to the Over the Rhine, if you're listening to this, the Over the Rhine location is kind of small, right? And they said they wanted more space.
Yeah, they wanted a little bit more space. I think when they came through, we kind of, the issue in Over the Rhine is that they're getting requests for thousands of donuts and catering and some other things. And so if you've seen the kitchen down there, it's not much bigger than a couple closets put together. So
right.
They wanted some space to really kind of do all their catering projects. They've got people asking for cakes and donut cakes of sorts. And so I think they kind of use the Over the Rhine location as kind of like a test really to kind of figure out what they like and what they don't like. And now that they've kind of been through the build out of that, they can kind of go into their next location and really understand what they want, what they don't want. The core business and really what they would boil down to is that they want people to be able to get in and out and be able to get donuts quickly and not kind of sit around. So they'll have some seats and stuff, but I don't think it's going to be something where it's going to be like, it won't be like Fort Thomas Coffee where you sit around and have meetings or, you know, and you can sit on the internet for an hour. I don't think it's going to be something like that.
Right. But, so Fort Thomas Coffee will probably be a different entity altogether.
Yeah, absolutely. Fort Thomas Coffee, I think it's going to be one of those things that if we are so fortunate enough to get these guys as a business, you know, I think it kind of will go hand in hand. You know, I love Fort Thomas Coffee, so I would love to get like a Dunkin' Stick in the morning or a Cinnamon Twist from Holtman's and stop by Fort Thomas Coffee and get a cup of coffee.
Sure.
You know, it was really cool when we had the folks from Holtman's in town.
And you met with them, right?
Yeah. So, Debbie had him in last week and asked me if I would want to come around and just talk, you know, good things about the city, which is not a hard thing to do. So,
did you wear all Bluebird stuff?
I don't own a Bluebirds item because I grew up in Cincinnati.
Okay.
So I'm a St. X kid.
All right.
I have blue that way, but right, it's a different right. different version. So, I met with them and we kind of walked around, met at the city building, and then Debbie drove them around. We walked to the Central Business District and then, Debbie drove them around to a couple other locations just to kind of show them the rest of the town because they'd only really been to Fort Thomas one time before, so they hadn't seen anything, and they were kind of amazed. The wife, Katie, she's from Madeira, and so she kept saying a lot that it was very similar to Madeira. She really enjoyed it, and she's like, this is exactly what we're looking for. And so the feedback from them was great. They were really, really excited about the city And the big thing that I took away from it was that they said, you know, when they were trying to open the Over the Rhine location, they tried three different places before they got to Over the Rhine, and they couldn't get anybody to help them. They wanted to be different parts of the city, and this never worked out. And so they said on this new location, they wanted to go where people wanted them. So that made me excited because I don't think anyone is, I would say, blowing them out on social media the way that Fort Thomas people are doing it.
Right.
And she even said that there was multiple people from Fort Thomas that actually had written her handwritten letters asking them to come and move and put donuts in Fort Thomas. So
that's got to be a lasting impression.
For know? Sure. I mean, if I was a small business owner and somebody sent me a handwritten letter, you know, that was really passionate about what I was doing and they want me in their town, you have to take notice on those type of things. And being an Ohioan and moving across the Ohio Ocean or Kentucky Ocean, if you want to call it that, is tough for some folks. And so I think it was kind of eye-opening for them to see just what kind of a community that we have here and how many people are behind what's going on. So
I guess to kind of tie a bow on that real fast, if you're listening right now and you want to get involved, how do they do that?
The best way to do it is, one, like the Facebook page, which is Bring Holtman's Donuts to Fort Thomas. It's pretty easy. There's probably somebody that you know is already on there or shared it to you on Facebook, on social media. The other way would be to, really go, you can either do it social media-wise and just send them a message on Facebook or on Twitter, and let them know why we're a great community, why we would like their small business, how we would support it. And if you feel so inclined, letter writing is always good. Old school notes are, I'm a favorite of that. That's what I like to do.
Well, and I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great fit. I think where they're looking, right in the middle of the town, which we're, basically kind of talking about the Highland Theater building. There's some empty spots there that I think would be perfect. One of the biggest things that I don't know that a lot of people are talking about is that's right on the route for the kids that get to go off campus from Highlands too.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily in the school lunch plan as far as donuts and cinnamon twists and red velvet and all that kind of stuff on a daily basis, but if I was a Highlands kid, that would be pretty fantastic that I could walk there and grab a donut at lunch or after school. And it was nice when we had them in town that it was right around like 3:30, 4 o'clock. And so there was kids everywhere walking around and and the crossing guard was out there and they're like,
Judy.
Judy. Judy was there. They loved her.
Well, who doesn't love Judy?
Yeah.
Perfect segue into the Art About Town. That's a kind of a new thing that the city is taking on. That's kind of evolved a little bit about, from what Barb Thomas started last year with the Artisan Fair at Fort Thomas Central. Talk a little bit about what we're going to be able to expect this year and I guess, just let us know what's going to happen with the Art About Town.
Sure. So Art Around Town is going to be it's kind of a new event, hybrid event off of Barb Thomas's event last year, which was really great. At Fort Thomas Central, and it was kind of an artisan fair on Fridays. Fortunately, we've got great small business owners in our town that are passionate about what they are involved in, and I don't know if anybody's been in or hasn't been in, but the Art House next door mm-hmm. to, pretty much right next door to Fort Thomas Central, is owned by Parrish and Sharon Monk, and they feature like 30 artists in there at a time. It's really cool. They have art classes and a bunch of other stuff. And she approached the Renaissance Board a couple months ago about possibly doing some kind of an art hop, art walk, wine walk kind of thing. And a really great presentation to us on it. And it's kind of one of those things I just think has been missing. We've got football on Friday nights in the fall, but what do we really do in the summertime besides that? And so now that our central business district has really kind of evolved and we've got a lot of businesses there that, I think could support it, it's kind of a great place to do kind of a hop around walk. And so Barb and Sharon kind of are spearheading the event and the Renaissance Board is really just kind of there to help out and kind of do what we need to do because we're so used to putting on events of this kind of magnitude, but it's really going to be a first class deal. We've got almost every business I think is signed on in the Central Business District. Every business is going to feature an artist or a musician, which is really exciting. Between the Art House and Fort Thomas Central, there's like 50, 60 artists that are going to be involved. And then at each business, they're going to basically host people, and then you're going to kind of bounce around for 3 hours from 6 to 9 on the third Friday of June, July, August, and September.
So something awesome to do, something to definitely put on your calendar. It's a great economic development tool in that, you're going to go into these businesses that you might not ordinarily go into. Brings people from outside of the city to kind of look and see, what Fort Thomas has to offer. And hopefully by then, we've got another business that we can talk about.
Yeah, I think, what's going to be really great is that I would hope by then that the new pizza place is going to be open. So there'll be some great food options as well. 15 North is going to be fantastic. We're gonna have the waffle truck like Barb had last year, which is always a big draw. And then I think there's gonna be a couple other food vendors as well. So a couple of food trucks. And there'll be some, I think, some music as well. We're kind of working the details out on that stuff. But, you know, some people that have been to Fort Thomas have only been over by the hospital, and other people have only been just to the high school. And so it's really kind of a way to get people to kind of see the Central Business District and really see our downtown. You know, we've kind of spent all that money on the streetscape and everything else that goes on down there. It would be nice to have some events on Friday nights. And so I think this is a great way to do it. The buy-in has been fantastic from the Central Business District and from the artists, and the committee that is working on putting this together is really, really knocking it out of the park. So I think it's going to be a signature event for the city, and very, very successful, because I think the buy-in's great.
So quality of life, transitioning right into the probably the biggest event that we do in Fort Thomas is Merchants and Music this year. You, as the Renaissance Board Chair, I guess, tell me what is going to be different this year. Are we going to be humongous? Is it going to be just out of control? Is it going to be, we obviously talk about who we have. And
so we're excited. It's a little bit of a departure from the country music of the past couple years. We've got a great headliner this year in Brett Michaels. He is going to be a big draw. You know, it's one of those guys that is a brand name that people know from all different types of genres. I believe he actually does have a country album coming out here shortly, so it kind of probably still fits in the country genre, but I imagine most people will be there to hear the other hits. The turnout and the, I guess so far, the hits on the website have been out of this world. So we're expecting a large crowd.
It'll be big. Now, one of the things that, and you helped bring, I'm a big beer guy, and you're a big beer guy too, I think.
Yeah.
We had West 6 last year that did the beer. Now, I'm hearing that they're actually going to create a couple different brews this year, maybe just for the festival.
Yeah, so West 6 has been great to partner with. They really did an awesome job last year.
Oh, I loved the beer last year.
Yeah, it was really cool. The goal of the festival is to feature local merchants, and that's the way it kind of always started. And so although West 6 is out of Lexington, it's kind of like a kind of craft beer, local, and at the time, you know, really Northern Kentucky didn't have it. It was the most local Northern Kentucky craft brewery that distributes and kind of does the festival thing. And so we thought they were going to be a great fit for what we were trying to do. And they really came through and supported the event the right way. They had like 6 staff members that were up here that kind of helped out and really talked about their beers. And instead of just pouring beers and just kind of handing them out, it kind of was an event in itself. And so they're going to be involved again this year, and there's been a request for a lighter version of beer,
kind of like a Bud Light or Miller Lite type of beer.
Yeah, and so they're working on some stuff for us on that end of things. They do have a blonde ale that just came out in cans, which is I haven't had it yet. I heard it's pretty good, and so there's some stuff that we're working on there to make sure that there's options for folks that don't want to drink an IPA of that sorts, but.
Well, I'll take the leftover IPA if there is any.
Yeah. I definitely had a couple that night, so it was great.
Anything new that we can kind of expect? We're going to have the same, you know, vendors, Fort Thomas vendors that are going to come in, and obviously that's the main reason why we do Merchants and Music.
Yeah, absolutely. The goal is to feature, you know, local merchants, and you know, anybody can really kind of sign up for a booth. We don't necessarily. I think the locals get a little bit cheaper booth than people that are just coming from outside. But I expect everybody to be back this year. It's one of those things. I think everyone did really well last year. You know, last year was my first time involved in the event. I've done a lot of special events over the years. And our group has really kind of got it down to a science now.
Really well run, no arrests, no problems.
Yeah,
and it's a huge event. I mean,
it really
that's
is. It's the largest event in one-day event in Northern Kentucky. You know, 13,000 folks, 14,000 folks, whatever they said last year, with no incidents is pretty amazing. I will say that we probably were going to have to step up the security a little bit this year with Brett Michaels, but I don't anticipate there being any issues. And that goes to show what kind of partnership that we have with the city and the fire department and the police department. And really, it's a lot of moving pieces that go together to really put this thing on. And it's this stuff doesn't come together overnight. We meet. A lot over the course of the year to really kind of iron out the details, but everybody kind of has their own roles and really is involved, and most of the people that, you know, worked on it last year are doing the same thing they did this, you know, we're doing the same thing this year, So I expect it to go just as smoothly for the most part. We made some changes. We're going to do a little bit more of like a barbecue type village this year, mainly because there's you know, a bunch of different barbecue vendors at the event, but the smokers kind of were blowing smoke everywhere last year, and so we want to try to put them all in the same place.
Well, that's a perfect segue. I appreciate you setting me up on that, because our other podcast sponsor for this is City Barbecue.
There we go.
We are actually going to be broadcasting from City Barbecue later tomorrow, and that's where I'm going to have Matt Bevin on the show. But until then, for Brian Sand, thanks for being here on Fort Thomas Matters Radio.
Thank you.
Fort Thomas Matters Radio, we are back. We just interviewed Matt Bevin at City Barbecue in Highland Heights at 2760 Alexandria Pike at the City Barbecue location. Matt had to get off to the NKU debate with fellow Republicans Chris McDaniel and Hal Heiner. This segment is brought to you by City Barbecue, though. They are bringing you the perfect Derby Day party to you. City Barbecue is offering free delivery, yes, free delivery for any Derby Day catering order over $200. That's a $35 savings in the Fort Thomas area. If you've not heard of City Barbecue, it's casual, come-as-you-are barbecue, national award-winning meats that are smoked on-site to completion, quality standards, handcraft by certified barbecue judges, and they do not stop there. They have amazing scratch-made side dishes that you're going to love, and that they get just as much attention as the meat. The team is passionate about real barbecue. They stay true to their roots, and when it comes to authentic food and service, you've got to try out City Barbecue. They'll make you feel at home, and they're saying it, you're happier when you walk out the door than when you entered. So please check out City Barbecue in Highland Heights, right next to fellow Fort Thomas family member Fort Thomas Jewelers. So the article with Matt Bevin, obviously we did not get a chance to sit down with him due to his truncated schedule. He had been in Louisville that day, Pikeville, I think, the day before, and then he had a CN2 debate with all four Republican candidates that was broadcast on CN2 to the entire state. So we certainly thank Matt for joining Fort Thomas Matters. That article will be on the website, FortThomasMatters.com. What we're going to talk about right now is a little bit more in-depth conversation with the street repair program. You can read all the numbers. You can see what everybody's going to be paying for their street frontage. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's always been brought up in Fort Thomas, well, this is just how it was done. But until you kind of, you know, understand how this happens, why this happens, some of the intricacies behind it, it's kind of hard to put two and two together and figure out why we do it the way that we do in Fort Thomas. First of all, the street repair program, with the citizens having to foot the majority, not the majority, a big portion of the bill, does not happen anywhere else. Certainly in Kentucky and maybe the nation. We did an informal survey with cities around us. None of them do it the way that we do it. Typically, they get monies within their state, sometimes from the state legislature. I know Dennis Keene has done a good job of securing state funds in Newport and some of his area that he represents. Sometimes there is a franchise fee. Sometimes it's built in. Regardless, though, as a citizen, generally in some capacity, one way or another, you do pay for the roads to be repaired. getting a bill in the mail after your street has been repaired for, you know, an average bill amounts around $600 in Fort Thomas, that is what does not happen. So what you've got is a public hearing that occurs once a year after they come out with a list of streets that are going to be redone. And this is just my impressions from the current city council and current mayor. I'm not going to go back and speak on past city councils or past with Mary Brown. I just don't know because I didn't cover it as in-depth as I am now. But the impression that I got is if you're not going to these public hearings, if you are not making your grievances known to city council and to the mayor, they feel like they're going to go on and continue this route. After the public hearing, I talked with Mayor Eric Haas, and he came up to me and said, "See, you know, this is a good thing." And to Eric's credit, you know, he said that even if this street repair program goes away, he still wants to have a public hearing because he talked about how it's invaluable to, you know, talk to the citizens, see what issues they might be having on their street, whether something was not paved correctly before, or drainage issues, whatever. But he came up to me after the meeting and said, "See, you know, we didn't have a lot of people complaining about the street resurfacing program, and it wasn't said, but it was implied that because there wasn't that many people to speak negatively on it, that it was a successful program." My thoughts, and obviously I did not share these with Eric, but this is probably why I think not a lot of people go to those types of meetings. And generally, when I go to city council meetings, there's not a lot of people there. But here's why I think not a lot of people want to go up there. Number one, you know, they might get a certified letter in the mail and they might know about the meeting, but they have no idea how to address council, how to address the mayor, you know, when to do it, how to do it, what to say. So that's number one. People just don't know. Number two, they generally, you know, the internet is one thing. People love being negative on the internet. But when it comes time to be negative to somebody's face, it's a harder thing to do. So that's probably the second component of why a lot of people don't go up there. Number three is, you know, whether you do it via email or whether you make a call up or whether you run into a council member or the mayor or whoever when you're just out and about through town, you know, invariably, just talking on this issue, they're going to give you the answer, and you're probably going to say something like, why do I have to pay for streets to be done? And they're going to say something to the effect of, it's always been done this way. Now, I personally think that that is a terrible reason to do anything. But you throw those three factors in, and that's why nobody's coming up to speak, you know, in big numbers. So the five streets that are going to be assessed this year: Arlington Place, Burnett Ridge, Churchill, East Southgate, and North Fort Thomas. The average assessment for Arlington is $690. Burnett is $3,100. Churchill is $2,900. Although the majority of residents that live on Churchill do live in apartments, so the owners of those properties will kind of divide the costs between the many residents who live there. So the final cost is going to be significantly lower on Churchill. East Southgate, the average assessment is going to be $620, and then on North Fort Thomas, $976. Now, that doesn't mean there are going to be some significantly higher assessments. You've got one on Burnett Ridge that is going to be the highest one in the city this year at 8,500. Some on Churchill, you know, East Southgate, North Fort Thomas, upwards of almost $5,000 for some of those residents. So I guess the question becomes, well, how do other cities kind of pay for this type of thing, and what could we do to possibly, you know, swap this plan with something else that might be a little bit more palatable. Not everybody has the money to, you know, cut a check for $600 or $1,000 to the city to get their streets done. And I think probably that will eventually go away. What they're talking about doing now is raising the franchise fee for Duke Energy for gas and electric. Right now, there is a franchise fee that you pay, whether you know you do or not. That fee is set at 0.03%, which represents about 72 cents on everybody's bill. Duke Energy pays the city of Fort Thomas, I think it's like $12,000 for electric and $38,000 for gas. And they pay those franchise fees to the city because, you know, of wear and tear on the streets. Sometimes Duke Energy's got to come in, tear up the streets or whatever. And that's the reason for those franchise fees. Fort Thomas is exceptionally low compared to other cities. At 0.03%, you know, you're not that those costs that Duke are paying to the city, they are, in essence, you know, billing everybody that's got a utility bill in Fort Thomas for those. So there was a 10-year contract on that franchise fee that Fort Thomas could not change it. We are in a window right now where we can change it, and we can change it up to 5%. What that 5% number will be, you know, just as kind of an estimate, if they charge the full 5% franchise fee, Duke Energy would have to pay Fort Thomas upwards of $880,000 for the year. Now that would mean that everybody's bills would go up substantially, because Duke, by paying that $880,000, would then, you know, bill back and receive their money back that way. So it's a neutral, it's a revenue neutral for Duke Energy. What they're talking about doing is, and we wouldn't have to raise it up to 5%, we can raise it up to 5% in Fort Thomas. What they're talking about doing is raising it between 1 and 1.25%. The total street repair bill this year that solely residents are going to pay for is it's estimated at $168,000. You raise that from 0.03 to somewhere between 1 and 1.25, and there you've made up your revenue that now everybody is paying into a little bit versus, you know, residents on five streets having to pay the majority. And it's tough. It's hard. And there's a reason why nobody else does this but Fort Thomas. I will say this too, though, and, you know, I've covered events in other cities. I've covered governments in other cities, police, fire, you name it. The participation rate in Fort Thomas for residents advocating on their own issues is extremely low. It's extremely low. So you ask yourself, why has this gone on for so long if nobody likes it? And trust me, nobody likes it. The city officials have said that it's the city's most hated tax, but it doesn't go away, because when you are only paving 3 to 5 streets a year, you only have to deal with residents on 3 to 5 streets a year. And once, you know, you've kind of divided and conquered in that sense, it's easier to kind of just let things go on, because that's how things are here. I mean, we live in an awesome city. There's not a whole lot to complain about. Our police and fire are outstanding. Our schools are top notch. People live here for generations and generations. So if you only have to deal with something like this once every 20 to 25 years, now you start to figure out, okay, this is probably why such a hated tax and such an antiquated way to collect it stays around. Now, here's my prediction. There's been one ordinance read to raise both the gas and the electric franchise fee, and that was just to give Fort Thomas the option to raise it. They have not decided to raise it. Those talks will be ongoing, I'm certain. The street repair program for 2015 is apparently, I don't know this for a fact, but according to city staff, council, and the mayor, the program will go on as scheduled if nothing comes up. And generally that means if a council member doesn't stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, or something to that effect. But they say that it's on a tight schedule, which means that they probably want to get this last, and I preface it, I think this is going to be the last way that streets are going to be repaired this way, because frankly, Mary Brown had been around, did a great job for a lot of years, but status quo was Mary Brown's name of the game, and the city administrator and council kind of takes a cue from the mayor, and things were good for the most part. They had to deal with some blips and some issues sometimes, but what city doesn't? Fort Thomas is the best city to live in Northern Kentucky, and I think in the region. So things weren't going to get changed with Mary Brown on this end. As far as Eric Haas goes, from everything that I have heard, he defends the program. I mean, he likes the program, and to a certain extent, I can see why. And his biggest deal was, you know, if you don't have some skin in the game financially, then everybody comes to you and everybody wants their street repaired. And I get that. I mean, right now you've got a lot of people that are due for a brand new street, and they're saying, you know, they're waving the white flag and saying, no, this can go on. We can deal with this another year. So I get why, you know, they might like it for that angle. I've also heard him say a number of times that they had a resident. He never names the resident, but the resident was a math whiz and looked at, you know, 3 or 4 different ways of repaving streets, and the way that we did it was best. You can just kind of put yourself back in the council chambers during those days and almost picture, you know, spreadsheets and all that kind of thing. And obviously it stuck with Eric because he cited it numerous times, and he feels like, you know, the way that we are doing it right now is best. And, you know, I can't remember the last time, I don't know if there has been a time where there's been a contested mayor's race, but that is by design. And the transition from Mary Brown to Eric has been a smooth one. You were never going to have anything that cropped up that was going to be a quick change, other than the fact that you know they went away from one council meeting or two council meetings a month to one a month. That's the only thing that got changed really fast. But other than that, this was never going to be an easy or a fast process. So my prediction is I do think that this is going to be the last year that they collect it. I think that probably just because of the, you know, the arbitrary nature of, you know, the unfair nature of a lot of people having to pay a larger share than maybe even in some cases their next door neighbor. I think that's probably the main reason why they're going away. And also, you know, it just, I have a test. It's not just political or whatever. You can apply this to anything in life. Say it out loud. And if you're saying what the issue is out loud to yourself, you know, take your first reaction. So in this case, say it out loud. Residents pay for their streets to be repaired. That just doesn't pass the smell test. And you go to anywhere else in Kentucky and say that, and they will laugh at you. Now, as residents, you do pay for the streets to be repaired. I'll grant you that, but there's more palatable ways to do it, and I think that's going to happen. So we're going to wrap it up. This is Mark Collier for Fort Thomas Matters Radio. Thank you once again to our amazing sponsors, Omega Processing Solutions and City Barbecue in Highland Heights. Thanks again. Mark Collier signing off.